Welcome to Big Natural Talents.
When I say big, you say natural. Big.
Natural.
Big.
Natural.
When I say natural, you say talents. Natural.
Talents.
Natural.
Talents.
That is the result of Lauren saying, hey, chat, you want to start this one? And I thought, let's reinvent the wheel.
Let's start this with a bang. I hope and I wonder if there was one listener who, no hesitation, first time when you said, when I say big, you say talents. And then they said, I'm not saying maybe you joined in on the second or third time with a bit of a cheeky laugh. I'm saying that you straight face said natural straight away.
Yeah. I hope we have fans out there who, like, when we say jump, they say how high, and they've jumped and they've jumped and they're saying, but how high? I'll do it again better.
Yeah. They're saying off which bridge? Let's do it. Meet you there. Bye.
Slut, you know what I've just done that has made me feel better tenfold, and it took me literally maybe 3 to 5 minutes?
Eating, pissing, drinking water. Drinking water?
Washing this water bottle.
Washing your water. Yeah.
I went in with a Q-tip first to get the initial debris. Then I went in with a alcohol wipe with a Q-tip in the mouthpiece. Then I found my trusty cleaner for straws and put detergent and went fucking fucked the shit out of it, and then went in with detergent and then washed the inside under the lip, like scrubbing everywhere, and then the piece de resistance, boiling water all over it,
disinfected.
God, it feels good. And I've maybe this is the first time I've done it in months.
Yeah I do it mine with the straw cleaner, the little mouthpiece, because it gets visibly, you can see, like, it's like visibly got your like mouth crust on it, and it's crust. Gross.
I know. And also, just one more thing in terms of purchases, slut, I bought the new Frank Green lid that has the button and a new piece, because you can see mine is thoroughly broken. And I don't think I've been more excited for anything in my entire freaking life.
Wait, is this like a new lid, or is this just like the traditional Frank Green, which is like a button and you sip?
No, new lid. They like listen to the girlies, all the feedback of how to open this mouthpiece, you need to touch it with your disgusting fingers. So now it's like this, the bottle lid, but there's just a button, so you don't have to flick it up all the time. Yeah.
Oh, I'm seeing this. This is exciting.
Yeah,
this
it's new. Quite game changing. That's all you want from companies, is that they hear the feedback, and then especially overwhelming feedback where they're like, guys, we love this product so much, but there's one major downside to it. And they've listened and they've responded, and it really makes a beautiful relationship between company and consumer. One of the few times we can celebrate
and
that.
And this isn't even an ad. Can we say that? Can we say it's the exact opposite, that we're not being paid for this, that we're in fact throwing hundreds of dollars at this company that humbly makes water bottles? Can I?
We should beep it. We'll just beep
it. No, I mean, everyone will know. No, what instead we'll do, I'll do a balanced opinion on the Frank Green products, is that long before the water bottle, I actually had the Frank Green coffee cup, which is aesthetic, but I think it's like one design awards. I think it has terrible design, because the lid is like full of like tiny crevasses and components, and like the click and the pop. And if you get a cappuccino foam in there, like, it's impossible to clean without dismantling the full lid, which contains like a spring mechanism, which if you take that apart and you want to put it back together again, good luck.
Good luck.
Good luck having that button ever pop back up the same again, because you can't. So that's the balance.
God, that was really good. You think Frank Green, all the like huge execs, the head honchos, are listening to the first bit? They're laughing at us. They're like, these stupid bitches, they've just given us free advertising. And then they go, what? And then they're like, pull off their chest, scramble like that Looney Tunes, like, and they like run to us. call the lawyers and get a fucking hitman on us.
The first part, their tongue is rolled like a red carpet out of their mouth, and their eyes are really like bully, bully, and their fingers are on the button that says "send free products, send free," and they're about to press it. And then I said that, and then they went like Tim Allen in Home Improvement. And the tongue rolled back up and went right back down their throat. And then they vomited from it.
Like that movie, The Exorcist. Projectile and the head spins around.
And everyone, their assistants going, Mr. Green, are you okay? Mr. Green, please. And on the news later that night, it'll be like, Frank Green has been admitted to hospital following what can only be described as a possession.
Ah, that's awesome. Oh, we're on fire. Okay, let me lead today with my little thoughts, honey bun.
Please.
And see what you think. Yep. Firstly.
You've got a little notebook as well. You're holding a little book. Firstly.
Yeah, this is a product that Ben uses exclusively for stand-up, but I have decided to, because he has like 100 of them, I've decided to take it. And I think this will be game-changing for me because I have 100 million notebooks. They're all too big.
Yeah.
Blah, they're all too overwhelming. They don't fit in the bag. This, I think, is so far we have in what I've eaten today, Sunday, my to-do list, things I have to buy.
Little black book. Your little black book. That's really okay. This is a bit. You could do this on stage. You could pull that out and say, I found my boyfriend's little black book. And then it all just says in it, Oingo Boingo, Icarumba. Like, just stupid things.
Wait. Sorry, is a little black book like people you fuck?
I think so.
That's embarrassing.
Kind of the thing. Well,
that's actually so embarrassing, but also not really, because the other day I like had this like book that my mom bought me, which is like this journal book, and it was like talk about your past, but it's like really general. And then I just started writing down all the men I've been in love with.
Of course, that's like I,
which essentially means I've fucked, you know. So it is a little black book list.
I've been thinking about that as well, because like I read back through any diary, and I remember I was like reading a diary where like I literally had so much going on professionally. Like it was like the beginning of my career. It was like when I first like. Signed with management and was talking to these and had all these crazy opportunities going on. This is years ago. And then like the whole thing is just talking about boys, and it's like, oh, and I went on a date with us, and I met Alex, and I'm, because this is when I met Alex as well, and I met Alex, and then it's like one line underneath, it's like BTW did a comedy gala to 1,000 people.
Oh,
boring.
Boys will forever matter more to ladies like us.
Girls only want one thing, and it's disgusting. It's men.
And it's... Oh, my God, that's so funny. Okay, so that's in my little black book. One thing is this. So we've talked about, like, obviously, forever, up and down mental health. But anyways, as I told you, I'm literally rock bottom vibes, just exhausted, just burnt out, not feeling great, tending to go quite negative. So then, you know, with that tiredness, you're at home and you need something to watch. And so I just thought something really sweet was the thing that I went back home in terms of like, where was my heart leading me? And I watched Charlie's Angels, the film.
The film.
And fuck me dead, Lauren Bonner. Does that fucking shit hold up? It literally sparked feminism in me. It made me love being a woman. It made me want to be smart and powerful and bash baddies. And it also made me appreciate the differences of women, of like, a redhead is beautiful, and a brown hair is beautiful, and a blonde hair is beautiful. And then... You have to love what you've got.
Sorry, what year was Charlie's Angels 1 as well? Can we just... So it's so funny to be like 20 years on, this girl having this revelation to be like... And it just made me realize you can get like a redhead girl, she's beautiful, and an Asian woman, she's beautiful, and a Cameron Diaz, a tall blonde white lady, she's also, they're all beautiful, and they are all friends, and they bring something different to the table.
Everyone's beautiful, okay? Everyone is beautiful and equal to Charlie.
Yeah.
And they each have their own individual skills, okay? And I just think that's so, so beautiful. And they work together and they're friends and the soundtrack's awesome. The costume's awesome. The cast is awesome. The stunts are awesome. Like,
yeah.
Oh my God, they didn't need to remake it. I honestly want to get a gun and put it to Elizabeth Banks' head and say, don't go back in time and fucking don't do this.
I never saw the new one. What was the...
Me neither, but it's a travesty.
Because they tried to make it... That's like the Marvel effect on things. They try to make it serious. They try to have like, oh, it's real action and there's a computer is the enemy or something. I don't... Yeah, do a costume, yeah. Do a silly mustache. When Cameron Diaz dresses up as the like mechanic or something, so fun,
so fucking good. It's camp. It's so funny, and that's kicking your ass. That's Drew Barrymore when she like moonwalks out of there after she like whatever. My favorite movie quotable line is, and no one ever knows what I'm talking about. But hopefully this may inspire someone to go back and watch. It's, I think it's in the second one, not in the first one, Charlie's Angels Full Throttle. It's this line, and Lauren, see if you know. Mm-hmm. Okay. No context, just going to say it. On the DeSoto case, we know!
No, I don't know.
And I have looked up and down the internet for that like clip, but it's not even significant enough that it has its own YouTube
it's
clip.
Not a meme, it's not memeable. You've got to clip it, you've got to put it on, you've got to make a YouTube channel. We've
oh my God, honestly,
got a BNT one. We could put it on there.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right that there is a gaping hole. And that's what I need to do.
That's amazing. I love the bit.
So that's just.
I love it when Drew Barrymore falls out of the window and she lands in like the backyard of those teenage boys and then she has to wear their clothes. It's so.
Totally.
It's fun. Put Drew in a big silly t-shirt and long shorts.
It's so good. And I think it's funny because the boys had just been talking about the boys that she like is at the house of and they're playing video games. They're talking about how like whether they've seen tits or not. And then like. This beautiful naked woman. It's so great.
That's kind of like, I feel like that was a trope in like 90s, it crept a little bit into the early 2000s of TV, which you kind of couldn't do anymore, which is an adult woman exposing herself to a male, like a child, their children, like a 13 or 12 year old boy.
Yeah.
But it's kind of heartwarming and exciting. Like, because you know what I mean, like you can't, it's yeah,
like it's covered, but the subtext is that yeah. Like a thin piece of plastic is protecting yeah. these boys' eyes.
It's exciting,
blah, blah, blah.
You know, it's not stranger danger, it's not grooming, it's nothing, it's good old fashioned fun
growing up. It's good old fashioned yeah. growing up. And the wonders of the female body, yeah, the female form.
The female form. That's nice. That's beautiful. I should watch that.
You should. It honestly would be like a great girlies movie to watch. Sleepover.
Sleepover club.
Okay, so I've got so many things that I need to get on top of for my body, if I'm being frank.
Me too.
From top to toe, little like... creams and like processes and daily things that I have to do AM PM that I have decided this is how my brain has to process it. I have googled, are you ready? I googled woman body outline. I'm gonna print that and then like a year 7 science assessment. I'm going to like circle the part and draw an arrow and write the thing I need to do. So I have like a visual mini me to be like, oh, these are the areas I have to hit every single day and then like make a little schedule for it. But that is what I've come to. I'm on my knees being like, this is how I'm going to get through this because like my brain feels like, you know, the scene in Harry Potter when like the Dursleys have been trying to stop all the letters from Hogwarts and then eventually all the owls come and all the letters fly through and Harry's trying to like pick it up. That's what my brain is like every single day. It's like trying to piece things together and pull. Oh, I remember that. And I need like an ordered.
But all of the letters just say like, moisturize your elbows, pluck your eyebrow. You have a hair on your nipple. Like it's all the things. Yeah, that's how, that's every day.
All that inane shit.
I'm kind of there as well, but like it's because I haven't been working for ages and I need to start working probably to get some money coming in. It's only going out and that's the problem. But I feel like I like get to the end of the day and it's like 11:30 p.m. and then I'll like look at Instagram and I'll see like just someone is like, you know, just like posted a reel or something of doing something, and that's like what I feel like I have to be doing all the time, like as a comedian or something. But it's like it's really hard. I'm rock bottom. I'm just like surviving. I'm trying to do anything, and then I'll be like, it's like 11:30 and I'm like, oh shit, oh fuck, I forgot to write a award-winning television series. I'm like, tomorrow I have to like create content or something. But I almost feel like I literally like forget all of the things I have to do, and then I remember them all at once, except then they're all there at once, and the only thing I can do is like die.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's like, oh, thanks. I could have used these 5 thoughts spaced out throughout the fucking day when I said there was nothing to do, not all 5 at night when I desperately need to go to sleep. Yeah. So, because like exhaustion is a killer.
All day. I'm like walking around, like picking up things around my house and trying to tidy and clean and like doing this and that, and I'm going for a walk, and then I'm like, it's 3 o'clock. Where'd the day go? This, that, what? And then I got to go to bed, and then I'm like, shit, I have so many things that I'm meant to be doing.
I know. And it's then you're like, oh, we wonder why women, not women, anyone, but like I'm just thinking of like housewives, like from that show Housewives, where like why they take a Tylenol to go to bed.
Yes.
Like life's hard, fucking zap me out.
I need
like,
barbiturates.
Yeah, now I get it. You just want to dull the pain, stop the noise, stop the chatter. Mm. You can do that, or you can go to the Headspace app and try your luck.
Good luck on the app. I know. My doctor asked me if I was like using the app or something. She was like, do you the Mind Technique website? And I'm like, what? I just, because I always go to the doctor and I'm like,
got the app.
I'm
like, the McDonald's
app. I got the My Macca's app, babe. Oh my God, Anne. We literally just stopped talking about the My Macca's app on the phone, but I literally had a fight with Alex last night because of the My Macca's app. Because this is my gripe with the My Macca's app, okay? We have to bring it up every episode. When you're driving into the drive-thru, it's like, I'm driving my car and yet I have to open the My Macca's app, find the discount, add it to my code. I'm like going to crash my car one day because of the My Macca's app. And I was pulling into the drive-thru last night and I was like opening up the app and I was trying to find the discount and I stopped the car in the middle of the McDonald's parking lot and all these cars were driving around me and Alex was like, don't worry about it, just go. And I yelled at him. I said, but I want the discount. Oh, anyway.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's not funny.
That is such an awesome, funny, like, absolute, like, of course you would find about that. Of course you need a discount. You have the app. You are so invested. It would be such a travesty. I also believe that, no, you should not have all the labor. That is not fair.
It shouldn't all be on me.
I really do think that. And I think a bit more support from Alex is necessary.
Thank you. And he should learn how to use the app for that moment.
Absolutely. And he should do it in his own time. It should not be on you to educate him. That burden is so heavy.
Every time. Ladies, it is not your responsibility to handhold your man through his weaponized incompetence in using the My Macca's app. Well, I'm driving the car. I'm choosing what to eat. I'm finding the discount on the My Macca's app. I'm applying the discount to my code. Are you kidding? Women's work is never over.
I'm sick. That's so funny. And also, dude, like Tim Shepard, he's the newsreader at Triple J, and he's like, everyone loves him. He's a heartthrob. And like, he's told me multiple stories where he's like, he's always referenced that he's like, I live next to a Macca's. Like, I'm always hearing people fight at like 3 a.m. at the drive-thru, like, people go crazy. He's got these stories, and I always remember being like, that is so funny. Like, to I honestly get so excited when I know people who, like, my cousin, he works at Macca's. I'm like, oh, my God, how's Macca's? Like, my sister, she worked at Macca's. I feel so excited to know that, like, someone in my family is, like, served this place. And so then hearing someone who lives this close is, like, its own experience. Anyways, then he's leaving to go on holidays 6 weeks to Canada, so we all went over to his house. And Lauren, it hit me. I had forgotten that he lived there, and it hit me so hard when I'm like, God, you're right next to a Macca. I was like, holy shit. Like, and then look, as we were going in, there was this beautiful sunset. Wow, that's his view.
Beautiful.
Over the Golden Arches, a golden sunset over the Golden Arches. And it just was so fun. You had a perfect view into the drive-thru.
Amazing. Can I say three words? Location, location, location. That's what it is. This is a big one. I saw a TikTok. I love that. It's like, this is a big one. I saw a TikTok. But I saw a TikTok of, like, just some people finding, like, it's, you see people on TikTok all the time finding cool furniture, like, on the side of the road in New York City. You know, these people yeah. found this cool big antique mirror, and they took it back to their house, and it was really cool. Okay, they found a mirror on the street, and they took it. Are there any alarm bells ringing for you at this action? Because for me, there wasn't. Is anything jumping up for you?
About taking a mirror?
Specifically, they took a mirror.
No. No, I love that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I saw the comments on this, and a lot of the comments were like, wouldn't be me taking a mirror. Classic behavior. Like, would never take a mirror from the street. And, like, emojis of, like, side eye emojis. All of this stuff being like, I would never take a mirror. And so then I was like, what? And I like kept reading, because this is what also always happens on the internet, is there's like 1,000 comments implying that everyone is in on some secret that they all know about and they won't. And I'm like, why? Why can't you take a mirror? You gotta wait for some stupid person to ask, and then someone will finally tell them. And it's because apparently, like, mirrors are a highly haunted item.
I was gonna say that. My brain went to one place. I mean, perhaps it's because I know you long enough that you'd only bring me things that are of relevance and interest to me. But I was like, surely this means someone's going to say it's haunted. But can I say I didn't really know that?
Yeah. I didn't really think about it that much. But now I'm worrying about all the mirrors in my house. Because even if it's not an old mirror that is like unknown origins and haunted, like, what do you mean? Like, of course, my mirror from Kmart that was probably made in terrible working conditions. Maybe that has bad energy. Think about it.
Yeah, but babe, wouldn't everything?
Everything that's made does, from but mirrors. Everything anyway.
But like more specifically, mirrors. But like, don't extrapolate to like, oh, the work. I'm like, then everything in your house is fucked. Like, everything is gone.
Everything
like
I'm wearing, everything I'm living in, the whole house, everything is fucked.
Torch it.
Burn
it's all fucked.
Burn it down. So, anyway.
But mirrors is interesting. So, where do we find an update from the TikTok or, like, any interesting comments?
Well, nothing crazy happened, but then I did some research. So, I've got some fun, like, mirror haunting superstitions. And then I've got the case, like one case from London in 2013 of some people who had a haunted mirror. So I thought we could go through this. And firstly, I mean, what was quite exciting, because I did a, you know, just a very cursory Google search on like haunted mirror superstitions, stories. Mm. And one of the most succinct sources I found was actually a website for a company that sells two-way mirrors. And they're called, it's just twowaymirrors.com. And they have the craziest, this is what I love to find, is just a website for something that should be normal, but they're crazy. If you go to their homepage, maybe I'll post a few of their stock images that they've got on the front on the Insta. It's very funny. Just some great gear really here. They've got, as well as like, they're selling mirrors and like information about what they sell and mirror film. They also have like these like fun little articles. So like had this article about mirror superstitions, and they also included it, and it was like in the description for the glass two-way mirror, they say like, what's a two-way mirror? So a two-way mirror, also known as a one-way mirror, it's not helpful, is reflective from one side and transparent from the other. So they're ideal for observation, privacy, infinity mirrors, optical illusions. So it's like blah blah blah, pricing, ordering, request a quote. But then they've also got like links to YouTube videos of like a two-way mirror prank, And then it's like applications. It's like, how can you use a two-way mirror? And it's like education, architecture, home privacy, doomsday bunker, pranks, and then in brackets, on friends. And then that's also like a hyperlink. So then they have another whole page on this two-way mirror website about doomsday bunkers. And
no,
it's just very, it's just interesting. I'm just thinking about the guy that runs this company who's writing this stuff that's like, what is a bunker? Bunkers are used and created for global or national outbreak. They can be found above ground or anywhere you see fit.
What the fuck? I still don't get what it is. Sorry, what is it?
What do you mean? What a two-way mirror is? Or
a two-way mirror. Is it like, it looks like a mirror on both sides, but you can see through it?
No, so it's like, picture like a police lineup.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's like that. It's like a mirror that it looks like a mirror, but you can see through it. And then they also have, wow. He also has a page which is a guide on different two-way mirror pranks that you can do.
Oh, that's exciting.
And he's also given them ratings. So the ghosty kind of one is a 10 out of 10, a classic pranks. But anyway, check this out if you want, guys. Twowaymirrors.com. Bit of info there for you.
I mean, this will have to be an aside, but like, you know how like for my birthday we talked about what to do? We got to learn, what about the ghost tour? I know we're already doing dinner, but like at some point I'm desperate to do a ghost tour.
We have
to. Also, I want to see this horror movie called Talk to Me. Maybe we could see that together. It's meant to be amazing. Yeah,
we should see that. It's got some Australians in it, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's Australian. It's meant to be amazing. And also, not that many friends of mine want to see horror.
Well, so I'm also scared of horror, but I will see it because it'll be fun.
Yeah, like with a friend, it'll be fun.
Yeah, with the protection of the girlies. But anyway, so here is some, this is some origins of where the mirror superstitions come from. So,
okay.
And yeah, the source is twowaymirrors.com. So we know it's a reliable and academic source. one of the better known mirror superstitions is if a loved one dies in their home, you need to cover the mirrors. And people think this is important because if you don't, their soul could wander around and get trapped inside the mirror. And there's multiple variations on this superstition from all around the world. And fun fact, they even covered the mirrors in the White House when Abraham Lincoln died.
No!
Kooky!
Presidential.
This is a presidential myth. And there's also different superstitions about covering the mirrors in a home to protect the living and the dead. So it's believed that demons are attracted to homes where tragedy has recently struck, like a bad magnet. So they think that demons could come and enter through the mirrors like a portal. And this is kind of spooky. So there's a belief in Chinese culture that if you carry a corpse past a mirror, that they will become a ghost. So, and then he's got opinions in here, the way he's written it. Sorry, it's kind of weird. And then two-way mirrors guy says, this doesn't sound too bad until you think about the fact that they'd never be at peace, haunting you forever.
That's so funny.
And finally, German and Dutch cultures had a more eerie belief. Apparently, if you saw your reflection right after a loved one had passed, this was an omen that you were the next to pass. So I guess it's like, don't look in the mirror after someone dies. But like, for how long? How long can you not look in the mirror?
You know, the real reason should be you don't look in the mirror because of what happened to Narcissus. Don't be vain. Just get rid of mirrors for that reason alone and you'll be much happier.
Much happier. Just look at the printed out diagram of the human body that you have annotated with all the things.
With all your ailments.
What are some of the things that you're going to put on that? Are you like washing hair?
It's embarrassing. Okay, it's fine. No, it's not that stuff. It's like medical. It's not like brush your teeth, queen. It's not. One of them is for this vocal stuff. I have all this like, I don't know, like it's always wet in my, but the back of my throat. It's bad for your throat. So I have to put this spray day in and day out, like morning and night. So that's one. That's one for the mouth, you know?
Too much spray.
Too much already.
One of the things you got to do to keep that mouth.
Okay. What have you got left? Are we into gossip? Where are we next?
I've got a ghost. This is still a mirror ghost story, but this is a story that happened in 2013 in London. There were two housemates. The guy's name is Satyrus Chalambous. So,
oh my god, he was so spooky.
Born to be haunted, yeah. And his roommate, Joseph Birch, a bit less haunting. They found a mirror in the dumpster outside of their house, and it appeared to look nice, so they took it inside. And they first started having all of these issues as soon as they brought the mirror inside. So Satyrus used to wake up in the middle of the night with pains shooting all through his body.
Ooh.
And Joseph became extremely depressed and lethargic, which was very out of character, apparently. It was like, if one of us became extremely depressed and lethargic, people would be like, yeah, that's normal.
No one would think twice.
But for Joseph, very out of character. And so it was just like little things like that. But then Satyrus painted the frame of the mirror. So he painted it silver. And then everything kind of like ramped up. Like Joseph also started waking up in the middle of the night with stabbing pains all through his body.
No.
Things in their flat started to go missing. I read somewhere else that like they went to the bathroom one day and like everything was on the floor. Stuff like that. And they started seeing things moving in the mirror, like shadows and scary stuff like that. And then they decided to get rid of it. And so they sold the mirror on eBay saying that it was haunted. I think for about $150, so it's a pretty good deal. And they got rid of it, and all of the pain went away.
No!
And I haven't heard about whoever bought the mirror, so maybe, who knows?
Why would they buy it? Maybe it was that husband and wife thing that the movie's about with Annabelle, who, like, buy haunted things.
Maybe. But, yeah, that's that.
Okay, maybe we should head towards gossip and round out the app.
Yeah, I mean, I've got one major piece of gossip for everyone.
Great.
And it is about a girlie in history. So I thought you'd like this. So
yay!
You were talking about you were a big fan of Mr. Bernie Madoff. Not a big fan, but you watched a doco.
I mean, I was a big fan of learning about it, but don't endorse the man and what he did.
Of course. It's good. We would like to make that clear here at the pod. We do not endorse the actions of Bernie
Madoff. Don't get it twisted, okay?
Yeah. But anyway, James wrote in and said that Bernie Madoff ran a Ponzi scheme. Yes, but this reminded me that the most famous Ponzi scheme was run by an 1880s girl boss. Her name was Sarah Howe. So this is actually, I think he said it's probably one of the first Ponzi schemes run by this girl, Sarah Howe.
Because surely the first one is Mr. Ponzi. But then you're saying like no, a girl comes along and does it.
I think
it.
The girl he did it first. So he said it was named after Charles Ponzi. But he wasn't the first one to run this kind of scam. It was really, the first major one was run by this girlie, Sarah Howe. Anyway, okay. So she's take got a great little life story here that I'll read to you. So she operated several Ponzi schemes. She kept coming back for more. The most famous one, and I think you'll love the most about this story, is the name of her Ponzi schemes. So this most famous one is called the Ladies Deposit Company of Boston.
Wow, that's so classy.
The Ladies Deposit Company. So she was like arrested and went to jail for 3 years. But then when she was released, she just like kept setting up similar frauds. And also a fun fact, when she wasn't doing frauds, she also worked as a fortune teller.
Oh my God, she's one of the girlies.
Yeah. So basically how it worked is, so she opened the Ladies Deposit Company in 1879, and she said it was a savings bank that accepted deposits only from unmarried women.
Slay!
So she told them that she worked with like a Quaker charity that wanted to help women of modest means, and she promised a very high interest rate, but that was obviously not the case. And
it's so funny that I'm being like, yes, Queen. I know. Like, oh, wait, this is all fake.
And she also preyed on women. Like, that's kind of, because it's a ladies' deposit scheme, and she's like, this girl was doing a Ponzi scheme, but she's getting other women's money.
Yeah.
that's why there's no movie for this.
Not girl boss.
If she was getting
it's just
men's
like,
money.
Tragic.
Yeah. If it would be like.
Yes.
It would be like.
It'd be the Hustlers movie.
Yes. It would be a mini series on HBO, a one season special where like.
Yeah. It's sad.
It would be fun.
She's going for vulnerable people.
Yeah.
And that in those days definitely was women.
So, yeah. She even, this is crazy really, she did not advertise the bank, but was able to attract $500,000. So in today's money, that's equivalent to like over $15 million.
Christ.
In deposits from about 1,200 women in cities as far away as Chicago and Washington, just by relying on referrals from other depositors. So by 1880, the Boston Daily Advertiser, the newspaper, started publishing articles that it was a swindle, and she was charged and went to jail eventually. But then she was released after only 3 years, and she set up another fraudulent bank called the Women's Bank.
Oh my God, no!
And yeah, she didn't get as much money, but like she was still exposed, and then she fled Boston before she could be indicted. And then she tried to set up other similar schemes, like one in Chicago under the name Ladies Provident Aid. But eventually she returned to Boston, was arrested, but she was then released because the victims were unwilling to participate in her prosecution. The ladies of the bank did not want to, I guess, rat on her. And so then she was free. That's and she just returned to fortune telling until her death in 1892.
Wow. Wild.
What a lady.
What a lady. It's so funny because that she kept getting out and could keep doing it. Like, would she wear wigs? Like, would she change her name? Like, how could she do that?
Yeah, I wonder how much of it is like kind of, maybe it's like sexism kind of in a way. Like, were like ladies doing white collar crimes? Mm. Was it just a bit like,
no. Yeah, yeah. Oh, run along, lady.
Lady.
You wouldn't know how to do that. You wouldn't know how to keep a penny in your pocket, darling.
She like, made a ladies' bank. And I guess as well, if her victims were unmarried women, then men maybe didn't care as much about it. So maybe.
Oh, totally. Mm. Oh, totally. Well, God, thanks for throwing it back with some historical gossip. You know I love to hear it because it's gossip, but we're learning.
We're learning. We're learning about gossip. And I think that's about it.
Well, that's another red hot ep from the girlies where we learn a brunette, a redhead, mm-hmm. and a blonde walk into a bar and become Charlie's Angels.
Yeah. I don't think that's it. I don't think we have anything
to promote. That's it. We're speechless. That's it. We've said it all.
That's it. Follow us on Instagram or whatever.
Or don't.
You do you.
You do you, queen. But just don't tell us if you don't. We don't want to know.
Bye.
Bye.